This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
This is a two-sided marketplace, and our sellers need a voice and a dedicated team to ensure we're looking out for you and bringing you the tools, the velocity, and the protections our sellers so deserve.
We know that updating item-specific requirements can be tedious and quite time-consuming for sellers, so we partnered with OptiSeller so that people can use their Aspect Finder tool, and it allows you to correct existing listings that are missing those required item specifics.
Sometimes there's a misconception that only new things sell as a result of this time of year. And in looking at our eBay data, pre-owned items sell year-round.
All that and more. I'm Alan.
And I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business, no matter how big, no matter how small, or in between, on the world's most powerful marketplace.
That's right. And this is episode 68. How has your week been, Griff?
Oh, okay.
What? You seem a little down.
Well, I am, quite frankly.
Why? What's up?
Well, remember last week when we asked our dear listener to call in and tell us what it is for which they are thankful this year?
I do.
Well.
Oh, no. Don't tell me.
Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing. That's terrible. Oh, well. Look on the bright side.
What bright side?
They're too busy listing and selling and shipping to call in their Thanksgiving messages.
Yeah, I suppose.
Don't worry, listener. This is just his way of passive-aggressively letting you know he's hoping you will call in next time.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. I'm acting out.
Well, pull yourself together, man. Okay. We have a show to do.
All right, I'll get on with it. Not to worry. I'll be okay. I'll just sit here surrounded in the dark with absolutely no Thanksgiving messages.
Oh, come on.
No, really. In all seriousness, joking aside, haha. All of us here at the podcast are so very thankful that you think to tune in every week. That's great. Thank you.
There you go. That's better.
Okay.
Now, let's catch the buzz.
Okay, my favorite part of the show. What is buzzing this week in the community?
Griff, as you know, every week we see thousands of topics and conversations happening in our community. And what we try and do in this segment is pull out some of the most interesting ones and talk a little bit about it.
How many do you have for this week?
I've got three.
Oh, I can't
just
wait.
Three.
Okay.
So let's go. First one in, title is Slow Sales Discussion for Sellers, November 2019. Will we get our holiday rush? The opening poster goes on to ask, well, my main problem, as I keep mentioning, is that my sales are in the dumper. They are down by 60% and this is the holiday shopping season. Will we be getting our sales rush this year? It is looking more and more like this won't be happening.
So that's the original poster at the top.
That's it.
And by the way, I should remind people that we're going to put the links to each one of these threads in the transcript if you want to go read or join in the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first response?
First one came in, says, major frustration here too. Definitely going to try other avenues.
Yikes.
Almost every week is disappointing. If one person doesn't come along and make one large purchase or several minor ones, the week is totally lousy.
But then I see here you got a second response. You want me to read that one?
Yeah, go for it.
So this one says, and this is from a different seller. Been feeling like the holiday rush has arrived. I'm a small seller and had 46 orders last week, 36 so far this week,
nice.
With one of those being a three-piece order. And looking at my bookkeeping for the year, things really got going in mid-September. Possibly, not coincidentally, that was around the time I really got to listing more consistently. So we'll see how the year closes out. But right now, I'm feeling good about things. 2019 has already been better than 2018's total sales, with similar margin, and has blown 2017 way out of the water.
Nice.
We read through this, and we found sort of a mix. People saying, oh, my sales are terrible too, and a bunch of sellers saying, hey, my sales are great.
Yeah.
And the sellers that were saying their sales are slow tend to blame eBay.
Right.
And I say, well, then why are some people succeeding? So, and why would, and I'm always curious to know why they blame us. Like someone said, we suppress listings. What benefit is that to us?
Doesn't make sense. Yeah, we obviously take a final value fee charge when sellers sell. So
it's and we don't if they don't sell.
Right.
Right.
So it's in our interest to get sales for our sellers. Otherwise, eBay is a business too, and we're here to make money and we want to help sellers get sales. So we're definitely not in the business of hiding listings, especially if a buyer has landed on a search engine, a search result, and your listing is there. We definitely want the buyer to see it and purchase it. So usually what I find is that I take a look at the listings and there's an issue in the listings. Sometimes it can jump out at you right away. It might be photographs. Maybe the photographs are old. They don't look professional. They're shadows or they're just very dark. I see a lot of the time.
I've seen those,
They're kind of done sometimes on people's kitchen table with poor lighting. And then you'll compare it to, like you'll do a search and you'll look at the list of search results and you'll compare it to other listings that show up and are done in a light box. You can buy them from pretty cheap on eBay. As a buyer, you're going to go with the one that looks the most professional, especially around holiday.
Yeah, I find that the times that sellers ask me to look at their listing and say, my sales are down, it could be that photos, it could be very rarely now, but occasionally really negative scare tactics in the description that, you know, if you do anything wrong, I'm going to come after you with a lawsuit. But that doesn't happen that often. No. But the biggest one for me, they're not priced competitively.
Yeah.
So I'll find someone who maybe, let's take a toy seller, and they may have a bunch of new toys, brand name toys. And I'll go and look and I say, yeah, everything's nice about your store, your listings. But then I go search for the same toys and there's like five or six sellers selling them and they're all selling them cheaper.
Yeah.
What do you expect a buyer to do? Pay more?
Yeah. You might get one or two buyers a year, you know, who find your item by chance and buy it. But yeah, you're really in such a competitive market, especially in toys, that people can filter their search results by lowest price first. Mm-hmm. And if, as you said, you're the fifth most expensive item, you're going to be down the page. So you're not going to get as much conversion as you would want to. So
yeah,
we definitely recommend. And sometimes sellers aren't intentionally doing it. Maybe they were the cheapest at eBay and they've left their prices like that for a while and they haven't looked around.
They haven't checked.
Right. And over the last maybe 6 months, some competitors have come in and they're selling for less. So you really need to keep an eye on what your competitors are doing, because your $10 item might sell okay for a while, but in a couple of months, you might need to increase or decrease your prices. So you need to keep an eye on.
And always remember to check your traffic in Seller Hub.
Right.
So if you suspect, or if you're falling victim to that eBay urban myth that eBay's suppressing your listing and no one's finding them, go check your traffic. It should dispel that myth right away. Yep. What you could see is that people are finding your listing as listing impressions in search, but then you don't have click-throughs. That has nothing to do with eBay. That's a buyer saying, there's something about this listing. I'm not going to click through. I'm going to find another one. And in my experience, that's usually price.
It's usually price. Yeah. And if you ever want to debunk the myth about eBay's hiding your listings, I would say list an iPhone at $100. You'll see buyers will come flocking to you in minutes. So definitely not in our interest to hide it.
You can find the link directly to this thread, or you can find other threads, by the way. And it'll be in the transcript so that you can go there. Or you can always go to community.ebay.com and then go to discussions and find any thread under the selling category.
Yes.
What's your second topic?
Next one up is titled Internet Tax Death of eBay.
Oh, it's like a horror movie.
Oh, so opening poster says, wow, just wow. Used clothing being taxed. Items from China being taxed. Who on earth is going to buy used clothing or poor quality items from China that can't be returned when you have to pay $20 tax? I mean, for real. Why is used stuff being taxed when it is taxed the first time it was sold? What's next? Will garage sales charge tax? I can't believe our elected officials allowed this to happen. I can understand tax on large businesses, but small-time people selling used stuff out of their closet is crazy.
Perhaps this poster needed a little bit of information?
This person has faith in their elected officials as well. Right. Or doesn't anymore. Yeah.
What was the stuff going on? And you picked out a few responses.
Yeah. Here we go. Okay. First one up.
Yeah.
Person says, I was about to buy an iPhone for $450. I got to the checkout and I see sale tax for $39. Insane. That's just free money I have to give to the government when eBay is a flea market. Who pays sales tax at garage sales and flea markets? This is all secondhand stuff other people do not want.
And then there was another response that actually was pretty informative, and I'll read some parts of it if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
So this seller wrote, if you buy that phone locally for yourself, you'll have to pay sales tax. So what's the difference of paying it on the internet? And eBay outgrew flea market, quote unquote, status many years ago. Now with over 6.7 million active sellers in the USA, the flea market days are long gone. And there was another response. Okay. I can no longer buy expensive items because the benefit of doing so on eBay has vanished. And the response was, if you're basing your decision about this solely because eBay is having to charge sales tax, you're going to be very disappointed to find that just about anywhere you go on the internet to buy stuff now, you'll have to pay sales tax. This is not just eBay. The Supreme Court ruled last year on the subject. And yeah. If you're confused or you're angry about this, ebaymainstreet.com, go to the Main Street site and learn about what this is, because no offense to the opening poster or original poster, which was correct.
I think either one works.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say original.
Yeah. That's what most people
whatever
say.
Whatever you want to use, Griff.
That you need to understand what happened here. And this is just a fact of life. So
yeah, it's disappointing. Tax, yeah. It is disappointing to see tax added at the checkout. But
do you feel that way?
I do.
I don't.
I actually had a bad experience. So.
Oh, really? Tell me.
Not on eBay, of course, but I shopped elsewhere. I did a competitive analysis purchase.
Of course you did.
So I went to another marketplace who shall remain nameless, and I purchased a pair of sneakers.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, this is a good price. This is a little bit cheaper than all of the other websites, so I'm gonna purchase these. But I noticed that when I was in the checkout, it said sales tax, and it had a dash, so it looks like it wasn't being calculated. So I thought, okay, sounds good. So then I clicked the button, did Apple Pay, and then suddenly my card was charged an extra $20.
Yeah.
So what happened is that they applied sales tax after I checked out. Which on eBay, we present sales tax to you before.
Right. So there's a difference between eBay and those other sites. eBay knows from your user ID what state you're located in. So it knows what to charge for tax.
Right.
Because that rate varies depending on the state you're in.
Yes.
Most retail sites, if you don't have an account with them and you're checking in and out as a guest, they won't know what to charge you for sales tax until you indicate a shipping address.
I did that, but even after, I wasn't until I actually clicked pay. So I put in my shipping address. I said California. I put in the zip code of where I'm living, and they charged me after it. So,
again, that's an outrage.
That was terrible.
Someone should get fired. And this website's going to remain nameless.
Yeah,
would I know it if you said it?
No. It's a streetwear website.
Well, there you go.
Sneakers.
Be careful where you shop.
Yeah. So at least, I mean, taxes, it's disappointing, but to see at least we show it to you before you check out. So you're informed before you make the purchase.
Okay.
But yeah, you got to pay your tax, right? Death and taxes.
So I don't mind paying sales tax.
Okay.
I'm a firm believer that the taxes I pay are how I fund the general common good of the people, either in our state or another state. I am more than willing to pay sales tax. Mm-hmm. I pay income tax willingly. Sometimes it's a little painful, but I pay it because I know that it's the glue that holds everything together.
I thought you billionaires don't pay any tax.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, let me call my accountant.
Yeah. I think what some people are annoyed about on our boards is that, okay, you walk into a store and you buy a new electronics item or whatever it is, or a new piece of clothing, and you pay it then. But then if you want to go secondhand or want to purchase something that's already been used and buy that on eBay, basically it's twice. You're double taxed on that item.
Yeah, but you're not double taxed.
But essentially the government or the state is earning two times the amount of tax that they
would
have.
Good for them. Well, how can you prove that it's been paid this first time? That's the problem.
That's where you can't.
Yeah. So that's always been the standard, is that it's at the point of sale, regardless of where that item is in its quote unquote transaction life. One of the things you can do is if you purchase for resale, you can always get a resale number for your state. You send it to eBay. There's a whole link on the in Seller Hub how to do this under the internet sales tax pages. And that way they'll make you exempt from paying sales
tax. That's a very important point, Griff. I'm glad you mentioned it.
So we have a third comment.
Yes.
And what is it?
The third one is titled, "Will not ship to California."
Oh, brother.
And this is all in caps lock and lots of question marks. So somebody is either irate or upset here.
Okay.
So the opening poster says, "Why are some sellers not shipping to California? I understand they will only ship to the continental US, but I see a lot of items I'm trying to buy or bid on say, notice, I will not ship to California. If you win the auction and pay online and I find your address is California, I will promptly cancel and refund your money. I will not ship to California. If you have a California resale/seller's license, then disregard this notice." So does anyone know what's going on with this no shipping to California stuff?
He says here, no shipping to California stuff.
Oh, I glanced out. I thought it was a typo, but that was intentional. California. That's a first. I haven't heard that before.
Okay, I'm just going to let that go. And what was one of the responses here?
I'm wondering if these sellers are thinking that they have to pay California state tax. If so, they are incorrect. The buyer pays for sales tax respective to the state that they reside in.
So that's one of the responses. But then there's another response. Can I read this one?
Go for it.
The seller or sellers won't be selling on eBay for very long, as they can't legitimately refuse to ship to California as a seller on eBay. And in fact, if I may break here, there was a case that was in the press maybe 10 years ago about a seller who would not sell to California because, well, they were political differences apparently.
Right.
And I can't remember what it was he was selling. I think it might have been flags, but I'm not sure. He got kicked off eBay.
Oh.
You can't, as an eBay seller, say, "I will not sell to people in a specific state." The response went on to say, "Each time they cancel one of those sales, they create a defect on their account as a seller." And the cancellations will add up, by the way. And then he had something nice to say. He said, "If you want to reach out to that seller and ask them why, they say it's due to the October 1st sales tax law that went into effect, which would really be the only reason they bring up a resale certificate. You may want to tell them that the tax is paid by the buyer. So that was nice. Mm-hmm. And then he says, or you can give them a link to this thread, invite them to come and ask their questions, or you can even give them my eBay ID, and I'll be willing for them to contact me directly if they desire, and I'll help them through this issue so they don't damage themselves for no good purpose. Now, that is the spirit of eBay.
That's the post of the week.
That's the post of the week. I love that. They actually had a really good solution, which, hey, tell that seller to come and talk to us. We'll ease them through this.
Yeah, so rather than bash the seller, this person has come along with a solution and wants to help. And isn't that fantastic? That's what the eBay community is all about. And that's why we love this community so much, is that there are, like on this thread, for example, multiple well-informed sellers sharing great advice and offering to be the bridge and facilitate the transaction and get things moving and help the seller who is potentially not only risking their account, but isn't California the fifth or sixth largest economy in the world?
Yeah, I mean, so you're turning off a huge state, right?
You're shooting yourself in the foot by not shipping to California. You could be getting all those extra sales.
So anyway, if you want to take part in these community discussions, you can follow the direct links from the transcripts to each of these three discussions, or you can find the literally hundreds of discussions that are going on the seller area of community.ebay.com day and night. You can create your own thread, you can read and just what we call lurk, or you may want to jump in and add your two cents, which is what we'll hope you do.
We also host a community chat every Wednesday at 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific. So you can come along and you can ask questions to eBay staff. Sometimes we have a dedicated topic where we will have eBay experts answer specific questions on a topic. That's from Wednesday 1 to 2. The rest of the time, feel free to start a topic and you'll get great informed answers like we've just read out.
Thanks, Alan. That was a great buzz. And we'll be back next week, I hope, with another set of threads for the community.
Of course.
Now it's time to go visit Liz Austin. She's going to talk to an old friend of ours.
I'm Liz Austin, and today we're welcoming Marnie Levine in her new capacity as VP of Seller Operations and Engagement. Marnie, I cannot tell you how incredibly excited I am to have you here leading us on the team. So, welcome. What are you excited about the most about being back, and tell us what you've been doing since 2017?
All right. Well, thank you for the warm welcome back. I'm thrilled to be here back being an advocate for our sellers. As we know, this is a two-sided marketplace and our sellers need a voice and a dedicated team to ensure we're looking out for you and bringing you the tools, the velocity, and the protections our sellers so deserve. I'm thrilled to be back working with you, Liz, and the rest of the seller team. The good news is, for the past year, I've been leading the hard goods vertical team. I know I've been on the podcast a few times over the past few months, talking about hard goods in particular. But being on that team, I've been able to witness firsthand some of the key pain points our sellers are having and some of the key pain points in the business. So I feel as though now I have an even better holistic view of the ecosystem and how important the tools and the resources we give to our sellers are to the health of the ecosystem.
So just remind me, hard goods, of our sellers here, which ones would know what you're talking about? What do they sell in hard goods?
Yeah, hard goods was consumer electronics, cell phones, things of that nature, video games. Also our home and garden categories were in hard goods, along with our business and industrial categories. And of course, one of eBay's favorites, parts and accessories.
Jordan Sweetnam, our new senior vice president, wrote a seller news announcement just a couple of weeks ago introducing you and committing to working with you and Harry Temkin from our product and engineering teams to hold all of eBay accountable for delivering only the best end-to-end experience for our sellers. What do you think he meant by that?
Right, that was a tall task. But what I gleaned from that and what Jordan Sweetnam and I have talked about extensively is really around some basics, doing the right thing for our sellers, and really through what I call operational excellence. If we're going to roll out a new tool or we're going to communicate with our sellers, making sure we have all of our I's dotted and our T's crossed before we go to market. We get excited for new programs and new tools to put out there for our sellers to use. My job is to make sure that we are 100% buttoned up before we go to market and before we communicate to our sellers to ensure the best experience possible. Even if it means to slow down to move fast in the future, that's what we need to do. We need to focus on making sure we create the best experience possible.
He also said that you'd be upping the ante on engagements like events and foster a strong sense of community. What does community mean to you?
Well, community is where eBay shows up best. this is where eBay is unique compared to other marketplaces. We want to be out there with the sellers, in the trenches with them, in your place of business. Even if your business is at your home, how can we help? How can we be there to understand your business needs so we can build tools and bring to you better resources and better opportunities for buyers? We had our upfronts last year. We're going to do more of those. I think we have quite a few on the docket. I think something like 10 of them. Don't hold me to that number exactly, but we will be out there in cities across the country. We have our meetup programs. And for those of you who have been following, we have our 25th anniversary coming up. And you'll hear more about that in future podcasts for sure.
Can you believe 25 years? That is kind of incredible to me. What do you think about the fact that we've been around for that long and why sellers should be excited about eBay's next 25 years?
What I think is most relevant and most important is eBay has never strayed from its purpose. There's companies that have been around a long time that end up trying to change who they are, change the business model. Now, certainly we've iterated and we have to stay current, but we've really never strayed from our purpose. Now more than ever, we are focusing on what makes eBay super special. So whether that's eBay for Charity, where we've just exceeded $1 billion. Thank you, sellers and buyers and employees. Absolutely. To really just continuing to evolve the marketplace in a way that is in true partnership with our sellers.
A major part of partnership is communication. What are you thinking with regards to communication in 2020?
Yeah, there's a lot in my mind right now. I have to, kind of work with the community team, the podcast team, the social team to really understand kind of what our capabilities are, but really leveraging the community platform. We have over 400,000 unique visitors every week to our community, which is tremendous. How do we amplify that? How do we improve on that? Improve the product, improve the design, get more users using our tools to the best of our ability. And then being out there, being in this office in San Jose, California is lovely and pleasant when it's sunny and 75 degrees every day. But really getting out, like I said previously, to where our sellers are, their place of business, their homes, their communities, Main Street, whatever it may be. Sitting here is not going to get us to the heart of what the sellers do day in, day out.
So true. And speaking of that, their day-to-day, we have got Small Business Saturday coming up this weekend. And we say that sellers and small businesses are the lifeblood of eBay. What do you think that statement means, particularly as we think about this Saturday?
Our sellers are, as you said, the lifeblood. What that means to us and what that means to me is that we don't exist without our sellers. But what I love about Small Business Saturday is obviously it's tied around the Thanksgiving holiday, and it really is about kind of making your dreams and making economic opportunity for all. So I love celebrating it. Although we do celebrate it every day here at eBay, it makes it extra special just around the holiday season in particular.
So you mentioned Thanksgiving, and as part of that, I'm going to be thankful for my job here at eBay because I've done a lot of stuff in my career, like we all have, but I've never been able to be so close to our customer. What about you, Mani? What will you be thankful for this Thanksgiving? It sounds so cliche, but it's actually a really important day of the year.
It really is. You know, on a personal level, I'm always thankful for my family, for health and good fortune. So that goes without saying, but I'll say it. So very thankful for that and thankful to be spending time and taking the time to spend with them, quality time, because we don't get a lot of that nowadays. But like you, I'm thankful that I have a job that I truly enjoy. We've all had multiple careers, some great, some not so great. But here at eBay, coming to work every day really gives me purpose. And it's about helping others and the opportunity for sellers to send their child to college or get the car that they want or simply pay the mortgage or pay the rent, right? Whatever it is that you're eBaying for, how we can help you get there, it really gives me purpose and joy. The stories are remarkable that we hear day in, day out, and I'm just thankful that I get to be a part of it.
So back to Jordan. Jordan Sweetnam, our Senior Vice President, he came in and we had a delightful conversation with him a couple of months ago. He was just new to eBay and we were asking him about what he was selling and what he was thinking about the future.
He loves selling on eBay.
So we want to know, what's the scoop with Jordan?
Well, the scoop with Jordan is that he actually used to have this job. So he has very strong opinions about our sellers and how they need to be treated, which is great for our sellers and actually great for me. I joke around. He loves selling. There's not a meeting that I sit in that he doesn't say, how do our sellers benefit from this? So even if we're talking about buyers or product design, it's always about what do the sellers get out of this? So he really fundamentally understands that we are a two-sided marketplace and sellers are the lifeblood, and it resonates in everything he does. So that makes me excited. It makes my job actually easier that we have a leader who understands the importance of the selling community.
Jordan is really keen to hear from sellers. So I believe he's going to set up a board on the community where sellers can ask him anything. So
yes, that is the plan. So when we have the launch date for that, we will certainly reach out and let you guys know.
Brilliant. This is a question we ask all of our guests here on the podcast. So don't be too worried. What are you selling?
The item that I just sold was a Hamilton CD, and I love the show like everybody else. But since I love the show, everybody thinks that they should get me something with Hamilton. So I have numerous of the same CDs, not to mention, obviously, iTunes and everything else. So I recently sold a Hamilton CD. There was a lot of Hamilton listings out there, so I used promoted listings, and the item sold within 24 hours.
Brilliant.
Had a great experience there. And I just tend to sell things around the home. I have a young son who's always growing out of things and changing his mind on what he likes. I use that to my advantage to sell and of course, test out the platform all the time.
So I wonder if you'll be getting the Hamilton CD for holiday again.
Maybe.
Just pop right. That up on eBay again.
I wish someone would just get me tickets. I would love to see the show again. So anybody listening, no, I'm just kidding. I can't say that because that is definitely a quid pro quo. That's not a good thing.
If someone doesn't get me Hamilton tickets right. This year, you're all in trouble. Right. So what about holiday? With only 4 weeks left, what's the top three bits of advice you can offer our sellers?
Well, this time of year, everybody knows how competitive it is out there. Job number one, I would check your pricing. Look at the competitors, look at the other website. Make sure your prices are competitive. The other thing all year long, but more than ever this time of year, is, you know, keep your delivery promise. These are people who are looking to buy gifts, whether it's for their family or they want to send them to somebody or a coworker. Deliver on your promise date. And then, of course, the tools that we have that we've launched over the past year, continue to use them. A lot of sellers are using them. This time of year, the more you could take advantage of those tools, the better, because it just gives you a leg up and an advantage on the competition.
Great. All right, Mani, thank you so much for joining us here today.
My pleasure.
And I'm going to suggest that if sellers want to send you an email, they could send it to podcast@ebay.com. How about that?
That sounds great. And put it to my attention so I can take a look at it right away.
Brilliant. Okay. So we're going to commit to that again. Send your emails to Mani to podcast@ebay.com. Send your ideas, your thoughts, and we'll get those over to Mani, and you'll be seeing her out and about in 2020. And thanks again for coming along.
Thank you for having me.
We've been speaking to Mani Levine, VP of Seller Operations and Engagement.
Item specifics have been top of mind for many sellers this past month, well, with the rollout of the new mandated specifics in October. Now, depending on which categories you sell in and the number of listings you have, editing all your listings to be up to date with the new item-specific changes can present a challenge. You could use the bulk edit option, of course, that's built into eBay. But for sellers with hundreds, if not thousands, of listings, there could be a better solution. On Skype with us now is Shannon Jensen from the eBay Seller Experience team, and she's here to shed a little light on one of those solutions. Welcome, Shannon.
Hey, thanks, Griff. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are things in Salt Lake City?
Fantastic. Thanks for asking.
So let's jump right into it. We're talking about a tool called OptiSeller. What exactly is OptiSeller?
OptiSeller is an e-commerce data platform that we've been partnered with for over a year now.
I went to their website and they offer a suite of tools, but there's one specific tool we're talking about today. Is that correct?
That's correct. So today we're going to be talking about their Aspect Finder tool.
So what exactly does the Aspect Finder tool do?
I think the first thing is to give a little bit of background, and you kind of touched upon it a moment ago. We've teamed up with OptiSeller because of those item-specific requirements that you just talked about. We know that updating that can be tedious and quite time-consuming for sellers to make those changes, so we partnered with OptiSeller so that people can use their Aspect Finder tool, and it quickly identifies and allows you to correct existing listings that are missing those required item specifics.
How does an eBay seller with a lot of listings that may need their specifics edited or added or changed, how do they start using Opti?
So the first thing they need to do is sign up for the OptiSeller tool. I know we're going to be posting a link after this is over, so there will be a link for sellers to just click on. It takes them right to the page they need to be at. They'll connect their eBay account to the tool by entering their email address and their eBay seller ID. And then from there, they'll be able to download a report.
Before we get to the report, I wanted to remind people that when we have links like this link for OptiSeller, you'll be able to find it in the transcript of this episode, which will be episode 68, at ebay.com/podcast. Go to episode 68 and then click the transcript link, and that'll bring up the transcript page. And if you scroll down, you'll find all the links for this episode, including the ones for OptiSeller. Okay, I've signed up with an email and my user ID. By the way, does my email address have to be the same one that's connected with my user ID?
It does not. It's just where they're going to send the link to. So you're good to go as soon as you send that. And then once you have that report, that report's going to identify the missing required item specifics. It's going to help you find suggested values. So it's a very intuitive report. And then you can take that report to update your listings directly on eBay. Or if some of our sellers are using a third party, or like you mentioned, just have thousands of listings, they can just update it through that third party tool.
For example, like File Exchange.
Yes, exactly. File Exchange or any of our third party partners, they can just bulk edit hundreds or thousands of listings.
So if you're on the OptiSeller site, by the way, and again, we'll provide links, although they're pretty easy to find on the site under their help pages. There is a specific link for each of these options for what you do with the report. It shows you what the report looks like, and then the call of action works. So either using the report to manually edit or use the bulk edit feature in eBay, or if, like Shannon said, if you have thousands of listings and you use a tool to edit your listings that's a bulk uploader like File Exchange or a third-party tool, this can help really eliminate a lot of the work.
Exactly. And I would say, as far as just some key callouts here on the capability, like the bulk feature is something that our sellers are loving. But being able to get these guys, they've been partnering with us and they want to help make this as easy as possible on our sellers. So they've taken a lot of our feedback and they've made a fantastic tool. If any of our sellers have questions, they can just ask a question for the OptiSeller guys. They're super responsive. Again, they want to make this transition as seamless as possible. Mm-hmm. So I do encourage sellers to reach out to the team if they do have a question, but they can do this for multiple seller IDs. Again, getting these suggestions around what's required and what's recommended, because we do know that while we have these required item specifics, there are also the additional ones that sellers can add, which will just enhance the listing's searchability, which is especially important for holidays.
And I want to point out, it's really important if you're an eBay seller that you should go through the link that we provide, because it'll take you right to the page where you can sign up for this special arrangement that eBay has through OptiSeller. And there's a reason for this, and you'll hear it now in the answer of my next question to Shannon, which is, gee, Shannon, how much does OptiSeller's item-specific or aspect finder tool cost?
Yeah, and that's a great point here, because we know this change is important for our sellers. And again, OptiSeller wants to make this as easy as possible. So eBay has made this free for our sellers through the end of the year. So December 31st, 2019, OptiSeller is free. So go out, sellers, use this Aspect Finder tool and update your listings. Again, we're trying to make this as easy as possible, and this is a great way to do it and save yourself some time.
Are there any other new upcoming features through OptiSeller that you can tell us about, possibly?
So I can give you a sneak peek.
Ooh, I like sneak peeks.
Yes. So upcoming in the next, I'm hoping it's in the next like 10 days to 2 weeks, we're going to be having three really cool features. And the first one, we know our sellers love reporting. So OptiSeller is going to introduce a summary report across categories, showing them a dynamic view of completion for required item specifics, as well as optional improvements they can do like as time allows. So I know sellers are thinking holiday right now, so they can get those required ones done. And then, hey, if they have some free time, you know, spare hour or over the next little bit, they can just chip away at it and they can get like an instant readout on how that update's looking.
That's a cool new feature. And again, you say in about 2 weeks.
Yes. And then the second one is a completed listing views per category. So they can actually go in if there's a category that they really want to hone in on and say, okay, this is my priority. I want to make sure these ones are dialed in for the holiday. they can actually go to that category, and then it shows a real-time number readout for the required and the optional improvements for sellers to get that instant feedback. You know, as they make changes to their listings, it'll update automatically. So they'll be able to see, okay, for this category, I've got 3 more that I have to do that are required, and I've got 100 more that I can do that has optional. Again, it really helps sellers prioritize their time. I think when they go through there, they can say, this is just going to only enhance my listing, and this is beneficial because I can just knock out a whole bunch of listings here, or I don't need to focus here as much. I can take the time and I can spend it over here. So again, instant readout on those numbers.
Fantastic. Is there a third feature, by the way?
There's a third feature.
Yes.
So the last one is the category tool, which allows you to select a category, and then you can see all of the item specifics that are possible for that. And then you can see it broken out by required, recommended, or additional. So again, it just helps sellers prioritize their time, and they can see, okay, if I don't have this information, these are things I should probably go out and get, and it just helps them become more efficient. We're really putting a lot of power in the seller's hands to make their listings as searchable as possible, and I think these are great features that our sellers are going to love.
I'm going to check it out. I've already spent some time on the page prior to our interview, so I'd come up with a little bit of information. And I'm quite impressed. I think this is something that all eBay sellers should check out. Even if you just have a few hundred listings, it could actually save you some time. And it's free.
Exactly.
Until December 31st.
Yes. So get in there and use it now. And like I said, if there's questions, there's so many resources available in those links that we'll be publishing. And like I said, if there's something that they have questions on that they can't find the answers to in those links, just shoot a message to the OptiSeller team. And they're very responsive, and they want to hear from sellers.
Shannon, I want to thank you so much. This was a great bit of information about OptiSeller and how it can help sellers.
Absolutely. Anytime, Griff. Always a pleasure.
We'll publish the links, as I said, to the OptiSeller offer for eBay sellers in this episode's transcript. You can find it again at ebay.com/podcast episode 68. And remember, OptiSeller's item-specific finder tool or aspect finder tool is free for eBay sellers up till the end of December. That's December 31st. Check it out. You have nothing to lose. In fact, the work you save could be well worth it. We're back, and we have Jen Deal in the studio to talk about what's hot. And she has some insights this time about what's selling that's pre-owned on eBay. Jen, what brings about this topic?
Hey, Griff. The insight I want to share is prompted by a couple of things. It is the holiday season now, and sometimes there's a misconception that only new things sell as a result of this time of year. And also recently, I was on the East Coast for an upfront, and I met many new sellers that were asking me, what should I start to sell?
Yeah, most of our sellers do start off with selling pre-owned. I sell mostly pre-owned, but it never occurred to me that this might be something that's hot during the holidays. I just wouldn't make that assumption.
Right, exactly. So what I found myself talking about, and I'll start with the sellers I was talking to, was a fun fact I heard where people generally have about $3,500 worth of stuff sitting around their house. And also, in looking at our eBay data, I know that pre-owned items sell year-round.
Including during the holidays.
That's right. And so because it's eBay, and the great thing about our marketplace is we have this spectrum of value we offer to buyers, which means that we have items that are pre-owned, to open box, to refurbished, to new, with varying price points. There's also likely something for everyone. And then also remember, people don't just shop for gifts during this time of year. They're still shopping for themselves. Mm. They're shopping for their homes. They're taking advantage of sales or having a little bit of extra money that maybe they save for gifts. And because they continue to save on sales, they have a little extra cash to spend on themselves.
So during this time of year, when you're thinking what you're going to sell or considering what you're going to put up for sale in your inventory, don't forget that all of us still can keep on consuming for ourselves.
That's right.
So even if it's not brand new things, there is still a market for it.
Right. That's exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so to validate my thinking, I did some digging and found the top brands by category that are selling now through the end of the year. And these, again, are pre-owned brands. And for those new sellers and those trying to expand their inventory, starting out at home and looking for these items is less risky. Mm-hmm. And then also just knowing what these top brands are can help focus that search.
Okay, sure. Let's do it.
Okay. Do you want to help me show the list?
Oh, yeah. I'd be happy to. Shall I go first?
Sure.
Okay. So apparently in fashion, this doesn't surprise me, Nike.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Nikes sell all the time. And we know there's a huge market in pre-owned Nikes.
Totally.
So if you're out there sourcing, you should look for them. LuLaRoe, I'm going to need your help. What's LuLaRoe?
It's athleisure wear.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I should know that since I live a life of leisure. Victoria's Secret, I know. Gildan, which makes the t-shirts. Mm-hmm. Gap, mm-hmm. We know the Gap. Old Navy. Adidas, another shoemaker. Coach, luxury brand name.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the highest end of the luxury spectrum, but mm-hmm. it's in the attainable luxury section.
Yeah.
And there's enough of these pieces like wallets, handbags, clutches, where it's a good starting ground.
Michael Kors.
Yep.
Which I adore. Under Armour, which I own, right, and am wearing right now. Levi's, and of course, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan, again, is...
is on the Nike brand.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
So why don't you take the next list?
Okay, great. So I'm going to touch on Home and Garden.
Right.
And so the brands there are Ring,
yeah.
Nest, both smart home items.
I have those.
Nice.
Yeah.
KitchenAid.
Is that like you hire someone?
I wish. All the power of the KitchenAid. So KitchenAid appliances, Whirlpool and Craftsman.
Oh, I got lots of those tools.
Awesome. Yeah. So more tools and appliances, GE.
They bring good things to life.
They do. Yeah. They still do after all these years. Milwaukee.
The town that made beer famous. Oh, you mean the tool maker.
The tool maker, right. And still.
It's pronounced steel.
Steel. Okay. I didn't know, but also.
Yeah, ask a guy about tool makers. Right.
I know Milwaukee, and DeWalt has always been a top-selling brand.
Oh, yeah.
Both new and used. And then, no surprise, but Pottery Barn items and Disney are top sellers.
Yeah, and Disney's much in the news. Their streaming service just announced, so there's lots of Disney content showing up on people's TVs and apps. So, all right, now for the collectibles. And we're talking not so much antiques and collectibles, but collectibles. Again, Nike shows up on there.
Mm-hmm.
Mattel. Mm-hmm. Makers of Barbie, Lionel, makers of trains.
Mm-hmm.
Disney, makers of fun, Hot Wheels. How many of us boomers had Hot Wheels as kids?
Okay, wait, I have a side note there.
What?
Hot Wheels is a very popular brand, but Matchbox
is bigger.
Just came out with Tesla.
You're kidding.
As one of their cars.
Really?
Not kidding.
Does it run out of battery? Wizards of the Coast. Okay, what's that?
I don't know.
Oh, we both don't know. We have to go research.
We gotta Google that one.
All right. Hasbro, where our first CEO used to work.
Mm-hmm.
Funko, we know what those are. Funko Pop, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And everyone knows Lego.
Everyone knows Lego.
And of course, I have many moments based on them. Hallmark.
Ornaments in particular at this time of year. But yes.
those are hot every year. Yeah. I'm proud to say I've sold a few.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're not good. Normally my thing. They're a little too kitschy, but I've sold a few. And finally, Topps, the makers of trading cards.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Why don't you do the next list?
All right. So Dolls and Bears. We don't talk about this very often, but again, I'm looking at some data where we have some pre-owned items that are selling really well.
Yeah.
And so this is a category where we see a lot of that happening. Reborn baby dolls.
What is that?
They look like real babies, but they're dolls.
Oh, my.
Newborns.
Okay, let's move on quickly.
Okay. Madame Alexander is another brand.
Oh, I don't know what that is. Should I ask?
No, it's just dolls.
Oh, dolls.
More dolls, yeah. MGA, again, a brand in there. Integrity Toys and LOL Surprise.
Mm.
Tonner, Barbie. So if you weren't looking at a Mattel brand, you're looking at the Barbie brand.
Yeah.
Russ, Build-A-Bear, Boyd's, and Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah, I know a few of those. Cabbage Patch Kids are still popular?
Yeah,
that's an 80s thing.
It was, but then they came back again.
They do
and
that,
then they went
they?
Out, and then they came back again.
It's, so,
you know, like, I think cabbage are actually perennials. So,
no, these are kids that they can't find work, so they come home Cabbage Patch Kids to live with their Cabbage Patch middle-aged adult parents now.
Oh,
man. Do you trust me with this final set?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, Mikasa, I know they make pottery and glass. In fact, all of these do. It's a pottery and glass category.
Mm-hmm.
Waterford, Noritake, Wedgwood. I love Wedgwood. Baccarat, Lalique, Pyrex. So all those top ones are sort of like designer things. And then we got Pyrex, which is cooking.
Right.
Lennox, back into the fine china.
Mm-hmm.
And Fenton. And I don't know this brand. I have to...
You don't.
Ray Dunn.
Oh, my gosh. So there are Ray Dunn fanatics out there. If you just look at the hashtag, you will see Ray Dunn. And all it's Ray Dunn's... It's a particular font on white ceramic, essentially.
That's it?
Yes, but sometimes there's cute sayings, and sometimes they're just words like aunt, uncle, mom, dad, boo, you know, for Halloween. But they're seasonal. But it's a particular font, and it's very farmhouse style.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Sounds cool.
So we are seeing a resurgence of Ray Dunn products and pre-owned as well as new.
The rest of this final set, there's sports memorabilia like Reebok.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle and Ness. What is Michelle and Ness?
I'm not familiar with this particular category, so it's
we just know it's hot.
It's hot.
So do your homework and you go figure it out. Starter.
Uh-huh.
And Majestic.
Yep.
And then books and DVDs, it's Disney, of course. Yeah. Disney's is huge so in this part of W.
In this category, I think all of these actually are DVDs except for that next brand that you're about to say.
Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
Still famous.
Still famous.
Right. Funimation.
Yep.
BBC. You mean like the British Broadcasting Company?
That's right.
Mm, the yeah. Beeb. And of course, the biggest thing in movies and is Marvel.
That's right.
What happened to the electronics category? It's not even in a top-selling area.
Actually, it is. It's the great call-out, Griff. It is a top-selling category and highly competitive.
Yeah.
Particularly at this time of year, most people are looking for new items, and they are often priced very low. I didn't necessarily pull them out because the other thing is all the brands are the same, whether it's new or used, that are popular. So things like Apple, Samsung, all the gaming gear, headphones like AKG, Alienware, Aorus, and Asus, those will sell well pre-owned or new. But actually, one thing that I did look at that I found interesting in pre-owned is that Amazon Home Assistant sell well on eBay. So like your Echo and your Alexas. And then some up-and-comers in terms of brands are AMD and Adobe System products.
Oh.
So what I mean by up-and-comers is they've sold on the site over time, but there's suddenly like this push for more pre-owned, or at least there's growth in sales of those pre-owned items.
There's one thing to keep in mind here is one of these electronic brands that's actually collectible, and that's Apple.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a friend who shall be nameless, listening to the podcast now knows what I'm talking about. But this friend actually goes out and actively finds new limited edition Apple products, whether that's Apple gear or Apple wear stuff you can wear that has the logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he resells it and does very well with it. So if you're in a liquidation store or you're anywhere where you see an Apple product of any type, chances are you can resell it on eBay.
That's true. We've sold a few of those as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you got last?
Okay. So a few last tips. For the sellers out there that just may be getting started on eBay, we always have a growing population of our audience on the podcast, so I want to be sure we have something for you guys.
Good.
So first, it may be tempting to list a high-priced item right away, but I recommend that your first few items should be things you can take a risk on because you may be going through a little bit of a learning curve on how to use the site.
Great advice.
Yeah. Right? Like we try to make things very simple for the new seller, but there's always something to figure out.
Yeah. It's good to get your feet wet first.
That's right. And second, if you are selling a used item, keep in mind that the pricing is expected to be lower than retail most of the time.
Most of the time.
As long as it's not something that is a collectible or that is, you know, in high demand and scarce, then we generally expect it'll be below retail. And a good rule of thumb is that that starts at about 30 to 40% off retail if it's an excellent used condition, and then you sort of monitor it from there.
Yeah, right? And if you want specifics, you can just do a search of sold items that are similar on eBay.
That's right. The last tip is just take excellent pictures. Take as many angles as you can, have good lighting, keep your item on a clean, preferably white background, and just represent that product as well as you can.
If you take a picture and you're looking at it and you're thinking it could have been better, it's probably could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
So just experiment and keep taking it until you get a system that gives you consistently well-lit, focused, great photographs that are going to compel people to buy it.
That's right.
Well, I want to thank you, Jen. This has been fantastic.
Good. I'm glad. I hope our sellers out there find it useful.
And we'll talk to you again next month with another What's Hot.
Sounds great.
And that's our show for this week. Hey, Alan, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm going for dinner in a friend's house. Me, my wife, my son. My son's first Thanksgiving, so we're going to go and spend a day with them.
Is this your first American Thanksgiving?
I've done it before, but I have gone to Ireland, actually, for a previous Thanksgiving. And last year,
a long road trip.
Yeah.
So they do a Thanksgiving thing in Ireland?
No.
No.
We have turkeys, though.
But there's no, like, Thanksgiving celebration?
Nothing.
That's very American.
We don't give thanks for anything in Ireland. We're too cynical.
Right.
we just eat turkey on Christmas Day.
I get it. Right?
That's what we do.
Gee, Griff, what are you doing?
I was just about to go there. Griff.
What?
I'm sure you're doing something fascinating. What's going on with Griff at Thanksgiving?
I'm going to Pacifica on the coast to visit friends and have the day there.
Oh, lovely. Oh, look at you.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Lots of turkey.
But I don't eat very much anymore. Yeah. So another passive aggressive thing I do at dinners, I go get a small plate, literally a small plate, and I put a few morsels of food and I just sit there and look.
You look
smug.
For sympathy. Yeah.
Mmm, this is delicious.
And you don't drink as well, right?
Not anymore.
So you just, they're like, come on, Griff, join in the fun.
No, I don't.
With your,
think so.
With your kid's portion.
With my kiddie portion.
And your lemonade.
Yeah, I poke at it and say, is this free range turkey?
Yeah, yeah.
Were these vegetables grown organically in like soil from Peru?
You got to look after yourself, Griff.
Yeah, that's amazing. I get invited back.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Alan, you have a line.
We'll have another episode ready for launch next week. Don't miss it. And if you want to join the fun here on the eBay for Business podcast, you can be part of the show when you call us on 888-723-4630.
Yes, call us. 888-723-4630. You can call that number, as you know, any time of day, any day of the week. All you have to do is leave a question or comment when you hear the beep. And hey, if it's any good, we might put it on the air.
Yeah, and actually, I'll go off script. Seeing as you love phone calls so much,
yeah,
everyone who calls in and leaves a question will get an eBay podcast hoodie.
What?
Yeah.
Said hoodie, in case you didn't understand it.
Hoodie. Sweater with a zip, whatever you
want. So they're really cool. You can give those away?
Give them away.
All right. They're purple hoodies with a zipper. So they're zip front. And they have the eBay for Business podcast microphone on the front.
Yep.
And the logo and the actual text on the back. And just when you call in, leave your address and your size, anywhere from small to XXL. And Doug will send you one.
Or
if that doesn't get people to call in, then this show is dead.
Right. I want to, hopefully, thousands of calls next week. But yeah, we've got some. So call in and we'll get them out to you as soon as possible.
Oh, Alan.
Yeah.
I'm a listener and I don't want to call in. Can I email and still get a hoodie?
Oh, no. Okay then. No?
I
you got a
no.
call?
I say no. Yeah, get a call.
Oh, you're on a tight ship.
But if you do want to email us, it's what's that address?
We have our very own dedicated email address, podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
You never call, you never email. I sit here all alone. Well, you all have fun going off and attending those local eBay seller meetups that you do in your area. And I know as I sit here alone in the dark by myself that at seller meetups, all you sellers are having fun sharing tips and selling stories and learnings and insights and even a little bit of gossip. And you're kvetching about Griff. I know. I see it. I hear about it. It's okay. You can see upcoming meetups where you can go and have fun without Griff on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups/no Griff.
Per Griff. Somebody please invite Griff to their meetup. He needs to get out more.
Yeah, right.
And don't forget, you can tune into the weekly live stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific time. Go to facebook.com/ebayforbusiness. And right after the live stream, hop on over to the eBay community for our weekly chat. It starts Wednesday at 1:00 Pacific. Go to ebay.com/community chat and we will see you there.
The eBay for Business podcast is brought to you by Head of Community, Brian Burke.
Our special correspondent, Jen Deal.
Associate Executive Segment Producer, Doug Smith.
Marketing Strategist, Liz Austin.
My esteemed co-host, Alan Aisbid.
Editor-in-Chief, Griff.
And from all of us here on the podcast team, in all seriousness, have a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving.
Yes.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. Hey, Rob Welch, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Rob does the final edits.
Poor Rob.
We never mention Rob. And now he's going to be sitting down, putting the show together, and he's going to hear this, and he's going to be really embarrassed.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. Have a nice Thanksgiving.